So feminine energy in this context refers to this archetypal quality that is present, you know, within all of us, regardless of where we are in the gender spectrum, right? So this is a quality that we can tap into and harness its power and qualities and attributes in order to reach certain goals in our lives or to create different work-life balance, which is actually very much needed for many of us, you know, these days.
Welcome to Self Love School. I'm so happy that you're here. My name is Satuda, and I'm all about creating a community of self-love, self-care, and confidence. Today's guest is the amazing Barbara. She is a psychologist, feminine integration coach, and the founder of Fierce Beauty Coaching. Her work has inspired many, and she's with us here today. We discuss cultivating feminine energy, using our intuition to create fulfilling soul-aligned careers, empowering our romantic relationships, finding inner truth, and so much more. Stay tuned and make sure you listen all the way to the end. Welcome everyone to Self Love School, and I have the amazing Barbara with me. And welcome Barbara to our podcast.
Hi. Hi Satuda. Wonderful to be here.
Oh, thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us. And we appreciate you so much. And we have lots of wonderful questions for you. I'm so excited to talk about this topic myself. So first of all, we can just start with, what is feminine energy?
Sure. So if we're looking at the human experience from the perspective of masculine and feminine, you know, this is just a framework. This is not the ultimate truth. This is not the only framework we can apply to our experiences. So this means that this is a concept that we can drop in and out of. And it's a concept that had been used, you know, by indigenous cultures and ancient traditions for millennia, and have been introduced into Western therapies and psychology by Jung, Carl Gustav Jung, at the turn of the century. So feminine energy in this context refers to this archetypal quality that is present, you know, within all of us, regardless of where we are in the gender spectrum, right? So this is a quality that we can tap into and harness its power and qualities and attributes in order to reach certain goals in our lives or to create different work-life balance, which is actually very much needed for many of us, you know, these days. Mm-hmm. And so feminine energy is really just this archetypal quality that we all have. And what I'm seeing actually, you know, just through the reemergence of feminine energy and feminine reclamation, it's been, you know, very, very emphasized for the last maybe a couple of decades. And it's very important for all of us, you know, for men, women, and for everyone across the gender spectrum, that's really harnessed this quality, because the world around us is pretty much based on the masculine structures, right? So constant doing, being busy all the time, looking at life through this analytic, logical, and, you know, rational orientation, which really disregards, even disrespects the power of intuition, of the unknown and unseen realms, mm-hmm. which is really the territory of the feminine. So this is, you know, this is feminine energy in a nutshell. And there are so many other aspects of it that is also very important for women to especially cultivate and really tap into it.
That's so beautiful. And I really love Carl Jung's work and the archetypes, and you know how he describes feminine, and it's so beautiful, and it's so kind of new to the Western world. It was new to me when I started learning about it, and it's so wonderful to know that you can actually tap into these energies and, yes. and feel good, because if you have a feminine core, you feel good in these energies, right?
Yes.
So this is when I realized that I can do this, it was such a breath of fresh air, because I was like, absolutely. I can do this. And it's so beautiful. And also, let's talk about work and a soul-aligned work or career. which is, you know, something so important because it's a big part of our lives. So how do we use our feminine energy in work, or even our masculine, feminine or masculine energy, and how much of it do we use, and how is it that it can benefit us in our jobs, in our work?
Sure, absolutely. So let me just give you an example of leadership, for example, because this is also one area of the corporate space and of work-life balance that it's being, and you know, has been receiving so much media attention and just personal attention as well, because the way the traditional work structures have been built is very much on the more authoritarian and masculine sort of patriarchal, you know, and in this context, power over structures, right? So patriarchy is not, you know, men against women, it's literally just power over someone, right? So some of the traditional structures that we, you know, we go into after we graduate or just we find ourselves has been really built on this concept that, you know, leadership is very much controlling and dominant, and there's not much space for empathy, intuition, collaboration, and community, which are more of the traits of the feminine, you know. So the feminine really thrives in relationships, in connection to others, right? So if you're looking at work through this lens of infusing more of the feminine traits into work, then that would be allowing more empathy and understanding and mutual respectful communication to emerge and to be part of our work relationships. Mm-hmm. And also, if we're looking at it from the perspective of more feminine leadership, mm-hmm. then it would be a leadership that really nurtures and fosters community, mm-hmm. and collaboration as opposed to competition,
yeah.
Right? So competition and just pushing and constantly doing and thriving always for the next level, we can categorize them as more of the masculine traits, mm-hmm. right, in this context. And feminine would be more of the, you know, collaboration and growing together, right? Really this mutual respectful growth that is inclusive of everyone's voice and perspective and opinion, life experiences, and really fosters, what I want to say is nurtures individuality, with the aim of really just build a better coherence within the community. So it's a beautiful, beautiful dynamic that we can actually use and infuse more of the feminine into our work to actually support community growth and support productivity and cohesion within the team as well.
Oh, wow. That's so beautiful. So beautiful how you said collaboration over competition. This is so important.
Yeah, because, absolutely.
Definitely, we have been conditioned to compete, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. From school, from an early age to
all the time.
With other children in grades, and you know, you have school and everything, so you kind of grow up thinking you need to compete to get somewhere. It can be sometimes emotionally harmful to us.
Absolutely. And it's also coming up for me is that even though, for example, what happened with me, that at my core I could always feel that this is just not true for me, as into my core, it just doesn't feel right. And for a very, very long time, I just didn't find a way how to step out of it, how to break free from it. Because as you said so beautifully, Satuda, that we've been conditioned to believe that this is how, you know, the world works. And, you know, there is competition from the perspective of capitalism, for sure. But only from that perspective. But actually, if we're really looking at nurturing our communities and the world around us, then the easiest and quickest way to succeed is through building relationships and collaborating, mm-hmm. and really nurturing this community growth and prosperity, which is just flipping this whole capitalistic, you know, competition mindset on its head.
Definitely, 100%. I agree with you. And I want to share a personal kind of experience. I used to be a biology lecturer. So I used to teach nutrition, and I used to teach biochemistry and microbiology and all of these things. I love teaching. I love the topics, and I love my students. I love my colleagues. But the whole kind of structure of a job and a lot of the paperwork, it was a lot of masculine energy, and it wasn't, I feel like it wasn't for me. There was something that I had to do, that I had to connect with. And this is when I had to transition. This is my transition point. But you're so right in, I felt good in connecting with people, connecting with my students, connecting with my colleagues. But everything else was kind of too masculine for me.
Yeah.
It didn't feel soul aligned to me.
So
that's so beautifully said. And I just want to ask another question, so because I'm sure loads of people listening would love to know, what type of careers or jobs would be good for them to go into or transition into if they're kind of not where they want to be right now?
Sure. Oh, this is such an interesting and inspiring question. And I believe that the question that could precede this could be, what feels good for me? Where do I feel like I'm thriving? Where do I feel like I'm just at my best, and I just have this soul fire within me that really lights me up, and it just feels so natural to me? Because as also just one thing that I'm just constantly noticing, within the life of my clients and also the communities that I'm part of, is that transitioning into a career that really supports our core and our core desires, feelings, and our feminine energy, is sometimes these careers or jobs are not existing yet, and we just have to take this leap of faith, and to really first create something in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls, and really nurture that vision and actually create it and actually manifest it. And I think you touched on so beautifully earlier that you've been a biology teacher, you're a biomedical scientist, and you just felt that sort of, those structures weren't really conducive to your core, to how you wanted to feel. So you transitioned into doing the work that you do now, and it does take a lot of courage and bravery and creativity, and also it's really important to access someone's intuition, this own inner guidance, so we can actually intuit the best way forward. So again, just really jumping back to this whole concept of using the feminine and masculine as qualities within us, and also qualities outside in the world, within the structures of the world, we actually do have the capacity to create a work, job, career for ourselves that is actually in alignment with our core, with our more feminine qualities. And it does take, a bit of creativity, a lot of creativity, a lot of courage and bravery, and also just being really honest and clear, honest with ourselves and clear about what is it that we want. And I think once someone has that, then we can really start the process of unearthing this desire, right? So really putting these intuitive insights into practical action. Yeah. So, for example, I can give you an example here. I am a former semi-professional dancer and also a psychologist and a healer and a therapist. And then for a very, very long time, when I felt very stuck in my corporate jobs, I just felt that, I wanted to break free. I wanted to bring dance and movement, holistic movement therapies to the world. And because at that time I felt so constrained and limited and stuck in the corporate environment, that my soul, my whole being was yearning for this extreme liberation and freedom that dance and movement has been providing me with ever since. And actually, when I get to the stage that I felt safe enough to quit the corporate job and leave that role behind, I uh, I was focusing on dance and movement classes predominantly. And then as I was journeying that experience, I realized that actually the kind of business model that I built around it wasn't actually in alignment with my lifestyle. Lifestyle preferences. So, and then, you know, this was this whole process of really understanding that what is it that I would love to do, what I would love to share with the world, what is the very thing, what are the very things that are bringing me the utmost joy and bliss and freedom and liberation and connection, and also how to use those qualities and skills and gifts and talents in a business model that is really in support of our lifestyles, right? So when I've been really noticing, you know, it's part of my journey as well and the journey of the clients I'm working with, is that it's this dynamic dance and constant trials actually to really understand what is it that I want and how can I turn it into a business model or to a plan or to a strategy that is, you know, is providing me with all those qualities that I want to experience in my life. And it's also a feasible and profitable, you know, business model. So, and yeah, so these are the two things that I would say are very, very, very important.
Yeah. This is so powerful, what she said. And I love that some of the careers or jobs that we kind of, are good for us, they don't even exist.
Yeah.
We need to make them, go and create a whole new thing, right?
Yeah.
It's powerful because we can do this and
absolutely.
And it's so beautiful. Yeah. And what we need to do is just connect with our intuition, follow that guidance. So, yeah. Which brings me to the next question. How do we do that? How do we connect with our intuition, listening to our intuition so we can be guided to what feels good for us and what's the best thing for us? So, you know, if someone would like to do this, what do they need to do? Like, you know, anything that physical that they need to do, what is it that they need to do?
Sure. Such an important piece. So accessing one's intuition is actually very simple and sometimes very difficult at the same time. Could be potentially because everyone is born with this innate capacity to follow their own inner guidance. However, the problem is sometimes, and quote unquote, the problem is that because of how the world is built up the concepts and the orientation that the world is offering for us is really promoting this more masculine way of experiencing life. So really experiencing world through our thoughts, from mental capacities, through being logical, analytic, you know, rational and logical all the time. And it's pretty much leaves out the sensations, the felt sense and the feelings from the equation. And the body is this, the whole, you know, whole body, our whole being, our psyche is just this amazing database or warehouse of information, of sensations. And because we live in a world which really promotes understanding things right away, we kind of bypass our feelings and our sensations that is in the body, right? And we can totally see it in this epidemic of mental health imbalances and anxiety and depression and etc. So cultivating one's intuition is actually starting with befriending the sensations in the body, not always creating a story around it, but just being aware of, okay, so I just had this conversation with someone and I'm feeling XYZ. This is interesting. And I'm going into this whole mental story or drama or, you know, just mentalization around it, just being really present with the sensation and allowing that sensation just to be present and, you know, eventually just to allow it just to let it go, because nothing lasts forever. So the problem, what I've been experiencing, the problem sometimes is when we're just getting so hung up on some of these sensations and the feelings that we experience. And actually not allowing those feelings to show their true meaning and their true gifts for us. Because in this context as well, I just wanted to bring this in, that I truly believe in that our intuition is this one of the biggest untapped energy stores that we have. It's just really guiding us through life, right? It's really, really guiding us through life, helping us to understand our experiences and helping us to figure out the next step forward, you know, intuit the next best step forward as well. So first step would be just really befriending our sensations and allowing those sensations just to be present, right? Without numbing them, without escaping them, just allowing them to be present, and also allowing these emotions and feelings and sensations to teach us, to tell us what is it that they're here to show us, here to tell us, right? So this would be the first and the second step. And then the next step could be is really practicing how to use that information in our day-to-day lives, right? And then just continue journeying with that. So now I just gave maybe 3 steps. I just put it into practical action. Yeah, I just really unearth it. I love all the theory and the concepts and actually just bringing it into practical action. So for example, this is something that I see many, many, many times in my practice. Many women across the globe in many different cultures have been taught that it's not okay to express anger or rage. Mm-hmm. And it is much more important to be agreeable than to be assertive. This is something that I've been experiencing, with women from so many different cultures and backgrounds as well. And this is something that I've experienced as well through my upbringing. So when someone has been conditioned that it is not okay to express anger, then chances are that little child is going to also disconnect from experiencing anger within. Because it is not welcome to express it. So it's actually easier to not even experience it within, right? And then all that anger that one experiences throughout our lives and throughout our journey is just actually being just stored in the body, and it could actually come up in all sorts of different ways. And let's say this person just has an argument at work or at home, and someone just crosses their boundaries, right? Mm-hmm. And instead of actually being assertive and explaining that, hey, this is what happened and it is not okay for me, I want to discuss this and change the way we relate to one another, this person actually internalized that anger is not welcomed. They're going to have all these internal sensations and feelings of frustration, perhaps, or this feeling of lethargy or depression, instead of actually allowing the energy of anger to move through them, because anger is actually just an indicator of someone crossing their boundaries. Right. So this is just a very specific example that I gave. This is not true for everyone all the time. I just really wanted to use this as an example. So in this case, this person could really benefit from allowing anger just to be present and just to allow anger to move through them, and really allowing this sensation, this feeling just to represent what it is, that it's a reaction. It's a feedback for someone crossing their boundaries.
Yeah.
And just allowing that to be present, and then use that information to actually course correct in their relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So intuition could be used this way as well, just really allowing the signals that, you know, that our emotions bring to us on a day-to-day basis to help our everyday life. And also there's another piece of intuition that it's very, very prevalent in the spiritual community when it's related to sensation that is, what is the same concept. However, different communities and different professions refer to it from different perspectives. So another perspective as well is intuition, just perceiving information through the senses, through the felt sense or through feelings or just knowing, or someone, you know, could be clairaudient, they could receive information through their ears or in their mind's eyes as well, that is not coming from facts, right? It's not coming from the heard experience or written or seen facts, and they're coming from different walks of life as well. And it's interesting how, in my experience, the more someone nurtures one aspect of intuition, so just really allowing sensations and the felt sense to be alive in the body, the more it opens up, opens our intuitive, you know, so-called psychic channels as well. So we can actually know what is true for us. Mm-hmm. We can actually discern what information is in service of our lives and what is not. And this actually really important, just to really create this deep sense of self, you know, self-leadership and sovereignty within, because no one in the outside world could tell us what is right for us, what is true for us. Everyone's truth is different. Everyone's journey is different. You know, our souls, our beings, our deep mind's trajectory in life is so different, is so varied and so diverse that no therapist, no guru, no teacher, no coach, no one could tell us what's best for us. The only way to know what is the best decision for us in any given moment is through really cultivating intuition from within. Mm-hmm. And that intuition is going to be in support of intuiting and discerning between the information that we pick up from the outside world.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
That is so powerful. And I love this concept and idea and these teachings of intuition and discernment. Discernment is the most valuable thing you can have, because the world is bombarding us with information. With beliefs about people, about us, about everything.
Everything.
So we really need to know what is the truth for me.
Yes.
And you can hear this inside of you, within yourself.
Yes.
When you get to this place, it's so powerful. You become powerful. You become invincible, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
It's such an amazing, amazing thing to have. And I would encourage everyone to work on their intuition, to work on their discernment, and to this voice within that just guides you to the right path and makes you powerful, makes you wonderful in your own way, and inspiring in your own way. So
that's
beautiful. And I also loved what the example you gave about the anger.
Mm.
Because so many of us experience this, right?
Mm.
You know, someone makes you angry, someone crosses your boundary, and you can't set a boundary and say, hey, this was really hurtful, this was really painful for me, I need you to do this instead. And, you know, just being this assertive, confident self, right? It's so difficult for us to do. And, you know, this anger inside of us turns into resentment. And this resentment can turn into hate. And this hate inside of the body becomes physical illness.
Yes.
So many diseases, you know, heart disease. And it's so many different physical diseases that are difficult to treat. So it's best to kind of heal that before it can manifest into physical illness. And I really encourage people to do the healing work before it gets to that place, because anger really does damage the physical body.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But this is what it does.
Yes.
And I really would like to go on to the next question. We talked about intuition and how beautiful and powerful it is, and how to cultivate our intuition. We talked about this. And how does our intuition empower our romantic relationships?
Yes, absolutely. Such a beautiful, beautiful manifestation of healthy intuition. when healthy intuition actually nurtures our romantic relationships as well. So it was really coming up for me, and I always speak, you know, in through stories, because I think that's one of the, you know, the easiest way to really grasp these, you know, changes and offerings, is that let's just stay with the example of anger, right? So if someone has received messages and conditioning from family, society, or extended family about what a partnership and a relationship is, and they go into a relationship without examining those preconceived ideas. And obviously they, you know, we live in a world that is constantly changing and just revolutionizing gender roles and expectations and what is needed in a relationship and what's part of a relationship and what's not. And if someone would love to transform their partnership or their relationships in a way that is really in support of their needs, but they do not have the necessary communication or emotional toolkit to actually bring that in, then actually using their intuition, just speaking about their own experience, could be so supportive, right? Just really really coming from this perspective of sharing their own experience, being really in tune with their feelings, their sensations, and bring that in as in, you know, as an offering, as an opening into a completely new realm of connection and a completely new realm of, you know, and make just maintaining their relationship as well. So, and as you said as well, we live in a world which bombards us with what relationships should look like, how should we manage arguments and conflicts, and what is okay, what is not okay, which is, by the way, constantly changing, you know, nearly like every 5 years. and there's no right or wrong way to live life. There's literally no right or wrong way to live life. The only quote unquote right way to live life is whatever its alignment with our current values, which could change tomorrow or in a year or 10 years time. So here again, just really zeroing in on my personal experience and also taking radical responsibility for my inner world without projecting it out to our partner, I believe is the game changer. I believe that this is the key to actually creating the kind of harmonious relationship that we, that all, you know, many of us are working towards, right? So I believe it's also this concept of intuition, being really, really aware of what's going on in our inner world, and also taking radical responsibility for our own triggers, for our own, you know, unprocessed traumas perhaps, or wounds, or resistance, and just really bring it in into relationship, and really look at relationship as a vessel for growth, right? As a vessel for growth and an opportunity for all of us to, or for both parties to really learn about each other and learn to love each other through the presence of the other.
Yeah. Wow, that's so beautiful, so heartwarming. And I love this. And I really hope everyone listening can take this in and really, really get to this place of a beautiful, divine relationship. So the last question, I really like to ask, how can we find inner truth and detach from the limitations of our conditioning? And we talked about this a little bit, but you can just expand on this a little bit.
Yeah. So the first step would be is really deciding what is it that we want. If everything was possible, what is it? You know, how do we want to live our life, and who do we want to become, and what are the experiences that we want to call into our lives, right? Because many times when we think about our future and what's possible for us, we are already coming from the framework of the world as we know it. And while that's definitely a reality that exists, it's built on our conditioning, right?
Yeah.
And then it does take a bit of playfulness and creativity and courage and bravery, as we discussed earlier, to really create a kind of life and trajectory that just really lights us up in every fiber of our being, that really brings out the best from us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really playing to our strengths, and it's really in service of fulfilling our potential. Mm-hmm. And to find that, and what I have been experiencing, to find that, we just need to leave the limitations of the world behind, right? And just to really step out of the framework of the profession, of the career, of the gender roles, of the family expectations that we are born with, just really zeroing in, what is it that I want to create in my life, right? How do I want to feel? What is it that I desire to experience? What is it that I desire to bring into my life? And how can I actually use my resources to create that? So, and also, I think it's also very important to give ourselves permission to not only to dream big, but also to allow ourselves to be nurtured by those dreams and those desires, and take them really, really seriously.
Mm.
I just wanted to jump back to the experience and the example that you gave when you were a biology teacher, and you just felt it was in alignment with your core. So you took the brave and creative steps, and you started to look, what is it that you could do that would be really in alignment with who you are, and you created a beautiful platform, a beautiful community, a beautiful offering, and now you're serving the world and your community with your gifts.
Mm.
Right? And this work did not exist before. Right? So, you also step out of the limitations and the framework of the world that you knew before. So you can actually move forward on a path that is truly in alignment with who you are. So yeah, it all comes back to really paying attention to how we want to feel and cultivating our connection to our inner feelings and sensations and intuition, and really allowing ourselves to take action on our dreams and our desires as well, because none of us share the same dreams and desires, but because what we see around us, we think that, who am I to think this big? Who am I to dream this big? Who am I to want to have that career? No one has done it before. Who am I to do it? Who am I to be a pioneer, trailblazer? And it's actually, we are the ones who are called to create it. Right. And no one else will give us permission unless we actually take the responsibility of taking our dreams really seriously and giving ourselves permission first.
Mm.
So we can actually inspire others to do the same. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Because when we are in our light, then we subconsciously give other people the permission to do the same.
Yes. Thing. Yeah.
Step into their own light. And find their own gifts and experience what they desire.
Yes. And yes.
It's really important to ask ourselves these questions. What do I desire? What do I need?
Yeah.
What do I want to experience? What is it that I want to feel? Because a lot of the times, and I work with many people who they don't know what they need.
Yeah.
We don't know what we need because we never... No, nobody asked us what we need when you were growing up, right? What do you need? What is it you want to experience? So we grow up believing that we aren't worthy of what we desire.
Yeah.
And asking these questions, what do I want to experience? What do I need? then you give yourself the permission to experience those things, and you start believing that you're worthy, you're good enough.
Yeah.
Maybe you are good enough, you know, other people are experiencing what they love. Maybe I can too.
Yeah. Oh, I'm getting shivers and goosebumps all over. Yes, absolutely. And also what's just really coming up for me here, Satuda, is that exactly as you say, that from very, very young age, you know, no one actually asks us, what do you need? What do you truly desire? You know, we are entering school, even nursery and primary, just shaping the way we experience world. Mm-hmm. And then luckily, you know, for most of us, this inner voice, this, you know, this seed of intuition is just, it's just gonna become louder and louder as we, you know, as we grow older. And then hopefully we're going to have more and more skills and tools to actually listen to it and use it. And that's the key. And really asking these questions, what is it that I desire? What is it that I need? Is really opening the doorways to really listening to this inner voice, this inner seed of creation, if you like, because we're really just bypassing our minds, because the mind is just running around, you know, the same circles of, okay, so this is what's possible for me. I cannot really step out of the framework of being a therapist or a psychologist. That was my story for a really long time. And then I have to do, you know, certain careers. And then when I was fed up with the story, then, and I really allowed myself to look for a different story, then, you know, it was when the magic started to happen. But till then, I just kept running around in the same circles, till someone really asked me the question that, hey, Babs, like, how long do you want to keep up this story? Like, how comfortable are you with this story? Let me know when you had enough, and please let's have a chat after. And that was tough love, and that was the kind of input that I needed at that time that really helped me to course correct and really listen to this inner voice within that has supported me to create the business and the community that I'm in love now. So, yeah.
Beautiful. So beautiful. So would you like to just tell us and share with us what you offer? Do you offer one-to-one sessions or group sessions? And yeah, you can just tell us more about this.
Absolutely. So you can connect me on Instagram. My handle is @fiercebeauty.coaching. Our website is www.fiercebeauty.uk. And there are a few ways in which you can work with me. So I am offering private coaching for individuals and for facilitators as well. For individuals is a accelerated healing and transformation journey where it's a radical release process. We're really diving deep into the feminine subconscious and a feminine psyche to release the limitations of the conditioning and all the expectations and that we are grown up with. So you can actually, the clients can actually actualize the power of the feminine psyche. So that's for individuals, it's for everyone. And I also have a beautiful private coaching and mentoring program for facilitators who are ready to embody their unique feminine essence to bring the feminine mysteries into their work. And both of them are on our website. You can find information about them. And I'm also launching a wonderful online group program. It's starting in June. It's called the Fierce Beauty Inner Circle. That is a guided healing and transformation journey. It's really helping everyone to redefine what it means to be a woman in the 21st century and really, really embracing the power of our emotional, cyclical, sensual, and intuitive nature with all the Taoist and tantric health and rejuvenation practices that are so important for creating health and vitality. And you can find all the information about them on the website. And if you have any questions, you can just drop me an email or just connect with me on social media.
Thank you so much. It's so beautiful. And your work is so powerful and beautiful and brings so much value to this world. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I will put links of your website and your Instagram on the podcast. But thank you so much for everyone listening. And this is it for us. Do you have any last messages for our listeners today?
Yeah, what's been really coming up is that there's this piece of, yes, the world would, you know, do its best many times to tell us what to believe about ourselves and about our lives as well. And actually, we are infinitely powerful and we can create whatever we want in our lives. And the first effort is just questioning the status quo and realigning ourselves to follow our dreams and our desires, because that is what's going to bring in the magic that and the healing and the transformation that we want to see in the world. And by being us, by, you know, shining our light, we give permission for others to do the same, and just automatically inspire everyone to access their deeper and wiser parts as well. So yeah, just this, that everyone is infinitely powerful and it is possible to turn around everything, every challenge in our lives, and just really follow our deepest desires. Yeah.
Thank you so much. This is 100% true. And if anyone listening is struggling with anything in life, just know that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and you yes. will find it. You just need to not give up, and just keep going. You'll get there, and you are on the right path.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Have a beautiful day. Bye bye. Please make sure you've subscribed, rated, and reviewed the podcast. Thank you very much.